It need to be heard again and again and again. You ever had a bucket with a hole in it, or maybe more than one hole, maybe just a little tiny thing, but over a period of time, whatever you had in that bucket would leak out? Is that right? Amen. Another example would be a battery. Before I came out here this morning, I had to replace the battery, the batteries in my microphone, because I didn't trust the strength level, you know, that was on the old batteries. But you know what? When I put the other batteries in, they were full. They were fully charged. Fully charged. But as I speak, now they're in the trash can. And I threw them away because they're no longer usable. So I want you to follow me in my message this morning. I don't know if I'll get finished today, but my job, and it's the job not just for me, but for every pastor, every minister of the gospel, our job is to preach the gospel. Amen? That's our job. Our job is to preach the gospel. And one of the things we're told to do, matter of fact, turn in your Bibles. I know I haven't prayed yet, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We welcome the Holy Spirit here. We welcome his leadership. Hallelujah. His guidance. And Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice here today will have hearing ears and a hearing heart or a receiving heart today. That the word of God that they hear and the word of God that they receive will change their lives and build them up, take them up another level. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. And I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your anointing upon me to minister your word. Father, we are going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 9. Now, excuse me, verse 11. It says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You see that? Amen. And of course, we're not going to get caught up on titles. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
But it says, let me read it again. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and there was a purpose that he gave them, and he is Jesus Christ, by the way. You do know that Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of the church. He is the chief pastor of the church, amen, of the body of Christ around this earth. Jesus Christ is the chief pastor. So, and it says he gave these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And verse 12 gives us the reason he gave them. He says, now listen to this, for the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. Just lift your hands and look up to heaven and say, Lord, I receive equipping.
Lord, I receive equipping.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So our purpose is to equip you with the help of the Holy Spirit so that you can do the work of the ministry. So that you can do the work of the ministry. So that you can be productive as a Christian. Are you still with me? So that you can be productive as a Christian for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, for the strengthening of the body of Christ. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. So keep that in mind, okay, as I proceed for a while here today. But God wants a strong body. God wants a well-prepared body. Amen? Glory to God. But now, let me say something else. How many veterans do I have in sanctuary this morning? Veterans, raise your hand. Veterans, raise your hand. All right, we have a few veterans here. Well, these veterans can relate to what I'm about to say. We were sworn in to the military. We had to raise our hands and take an oath. And once we took that oath, matter of fact, I remember what the guy told us. I was sworn in at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. Anybody else sworn in at Fort Jackson? Okay, we got some Fort Jackson folks here. That's where I was sworn in. And after the sergeant swore us in, then he made a statement that I thought, whoa, you know, what have I done? But he made this statement. He says, men, and in this particular case, it was all men, just want to tell you, you now belong to the government of the United States, or you now belong to the United States government. You are... Men, you are now government property. I thought, whoa. Now I don't get to do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do. I don't get to go where I want to go, when I want to go. And I don't get to, even if I go, I don't get to stay the length of time I would prefer to stay. Now Uncle Sam is calling the shots in my life. You're still here. I'm going somewhere with this, so just stay with me. But I had been sworn into the United States Air Force. I was now an airman. And so they put us on a plane for San Antonio, Texas, Lackland Air Force Base, by way of Atlanta. We left Columbia and stayed in Atlanta all day, and that's a story within itself, but I'm not going to take the time to tell you all that story this morning. We flew in to the airport there at Lackland, and we were greeted by a nice sergeant. We waited for the Air Force bus. That nice blue Air Force bus came to pick us up, because we was all in our regular clothes. We hadn't been issued any military clothes yet. So this was about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning maybe. It was late. And so we waited and we saw the Air Force bus coming to get us. Two people on the bus, the driver and the sergeant. So he opened the door and came and greeted us. And let us know how great it was to have us in Texas at Lackland Air Force Base, thanking us for joining the Air Force and just saying all sorts of nice things to us, and all of us were feeling pretty good by ourselves. So, you know, this government issue business may not be so bad after all. So we all got on the bus, took off for the base, drove us to the base, and the bus stopped. The sergeant opened the door. The whole scene changed. Now, I can't repeat some of the things he said. It's not appropriate. But we had a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde moment. I'm thinking to myself, where is the sergeant that picked us up at the airport? This man was totally different. He cussed at us, called us things that nobody should be called, and said it was our fault that he had to get up at midnight or whatever time he got up and come down to pick out. You know, I'm sorry, and you know, you fill in the blanks yourself. And all of a sudden, we all froze. And then he ran us off the bus. Pastor, what was going on? He was getting us ready for basic training. He knew what he was doing. Listen to me. He knew that the Air Force was not training a bunch of wimps. They was training men. Now, if you might have been a wimp when you got there, but you were a man when you left. And I did a wonderful thing. I'm proud of myself. I made a quick decision that I'm going to cooperate with these people, because I have seen enough already. I got my six, at that time it was 6 weeks that you had to spend there. I got my 6 weeks here to stay here. I'm going to the best of my ability, I'm going to cooperate with these people and get out of here. And that's what I tried to do. But here's my point that I'm getting to. Basic training was not easy. I had to do a lot of running. I had to do a lot of push-ups. Still got fussed at from time to time. Still got cussed at from time to time. But I want to tell you something. I got my little one stripe after 6 weeks, and I got out of there. And they sent me to technical training. In this Christian walk, that we have. Too many times we think, oh, it's easy. You know, I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. It's not that way, folks. It's not that way. Now, don't get me wrong. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. If you are in Christ, you are a free person. And so we need to walk in that freedom. But let me tell you, listen to this. We don't get to do just any old thing. In other words, we don't get to get Jesus and get saved and then continue to live like we did when we were in the world. No change in our life. Let me tell you something. If you are a believer, that should be a transformation taking place in your life every day. You still with me? I don't want to lose you on this. But now don't forget. Now, we serve a loving God. God loves you. God is not a mean old God that's trying to make your life miserable. Go ahead and get that established. God is not a mean God that's trying to make your life miserable. You know what? If God wanted to make us miserable, all he had to do is not send Jesus. No, God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to have a victorious life. God wants us to live and walk as overcomers in life. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we have an enemy. The devil. We have an enemy. So let me go ahead and read what I was about to read in 1 John chapter 4. I want you to know this and understand this. God is not mean. Amen. God is not mean. God is a loving God. First John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." I mean, when you love, that's of God. That's who God is. "For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 8. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is what?"
Love.
God is what?
Love.
God is love. Hallelujah. "In this was the love of God," excuse me, "in this the love of God was manifested toward us." Let me read that again because I want you to get this. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." God is a loving God. God is a caring God. And don't you ever forget this. Sometimes people say, think, "Well, Pastor, you know, I try to be a Christian. I try to live for God. I try to do right. I try to live right, but I just can't." Oh, yeah, you can. But your problem is you're not living it through Christ. Amen. Verse 9, let me read it to you again. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I'm victorious through him. I'm more than a conqueror through him. Everything I need comes through him. Hallelujah. So understand this, that God loves you. Turn to Romans chapter 5, please. fifth chapter of Romans. Like I say, I don't know how far I'm going to get today, but I am going somewhere with this. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for who?" Amen. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we were helpless, when we couldn't help ourselves, we were hopeless, Christ came and died for the ungodly. Now, I would call that love, wouldn't you? I would call that love. So God is love. And everything that God tells us to do is because he loves us. Even if we don't like it, it's still for our good. We need to get it established that God will never tell us anything to hurt us. It's always for our good. Even if it requires sacrifice, it's for our good. Hallelujah. You still with me? And I didn't give you a title. I'll go ahead and give you one right now. But my title is Grace and Mercy. We'll just say Grace and Mercy, all right? Grace and Mercy. Hallelujah. So we understand that God is a loving God. But now here's something else about this loving God. This loving God hates sin. You still here? This loving God hates sin. And that's the reason he sent Jesus in the first place, because he hates sin. He hates sin, but he does not, and hear me good, he hates sin, but he does not hate the sinner. Again, I repeat what I said earlier. If he hated the sinner, he wouldn't have sent Jesus in the first place, because we all at one time were sinners, weren't we? God hates sin, but he loved the sinner. Not the sin, but the person. Y'all still with me? Not the sin, but the person. He hates the sin, but he loved the person. And by the way, you know what we're supposed to be doing as believers? We're supposed to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. Get in the Word of God and find out what God loves and love that. Find out what God don't like and dislike that. And God always loved people. So listen, guess what? You and I are always supposed to love one another. You still with me? Now, some people, and I know you know this, most of you know this, but some people ask the question, well, what is sin anyway? You know, you talk about sin. What is sin anyway? Well, I'm glad you asked. In simple terms, sin is disobedience and rebellion against God. If God says, do this, and we make a choice not to, we make a choice not to, that is sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and don't do it, to him it is sin. So that's what sin is. It's rebellion against God. It's disobedience against God. Let me give you an example. Again, I know you know it, but let's go to Genesis. I mean, we have examples all through the Word of God, but this is, we all are familiar with this example, the second chapter of Genesis. And I'm just going to pick it up at the 15th verse. I think you're pretty familiar with the Garden of Eden and so forth, and the creation of man. Second chapter, 15th verse, it said, then the Lord God took the man, that's Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now notice something. God did what? Commanded. In other words, this was not multiple choice. God told him, this is what you are to do, okay, or not do. So, verse 16 again, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but the but starts in verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall what? You shall surely die. You shall surely die. And what God was talking about here, which God was talking about here is spiritual death, but also naturally, you know, Adam lived a long life, but he eventually died physically as well. But notice here, he says, if you disobey my command, and if you eat of this tree, you are going to die. You are going to surely die. Okay? That's God's command to Adam, isn't it? You don't do it. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would have gone and eaten from the tree? It had to be attractive. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was. In Satan and Eve encounter. We won't read that. But now, look at chapter 3, flip over to chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. Now notice here now, they messed up, right? We won't read it all, but he ate the forbidden fruit. His wife ate it. She was deceived. Eve was deceived, and she gave to her husband, and he ate it. And then God got on his case about it and began to ask him some questions. And then, you read the story if you don't know it later, but verse 12, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Now, earlier, God told him, if you eat of this tree, you are going to surely die. That's a command, right? He told him not to. Told him not to eat of it. Now, he's eaten of the tree. They discovered that they were naked. And God, when they heard God walking in the garden, they went running, trying to hide themselves. And God, why are you hiding? Well, we're naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, you know, the woman, and you, this is human nature. I mean, this is human nature. rather than saying, Lord, I have sinned, forgive me, please. He blamed it on his wife, the woman. And he said, the woman you gave me handed me this piece of fruit, and I ate it. So what he was telling God is, I chose to obey my wife rather than you. You told me not to eat, but my wife said it was okay. My wife said, this thing's delicious. Here, take a bite. I believe that's temptation, isn't it? He disobeyed God. He rebelled against God. And because he rebelled against God, guess what? That's the reason you and I have to deal with so much stuff today. All because of what he did. Okay, you're still with me. Drop down to verse 17. Then to Adam he said, this is God. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I, what? Commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. And then he goes on to tell him about the ground being cursed and so forth and so on. Drop down to verse 23. Therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden. Wow. To till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, this is what happened when we choose the way of sin. We lose. We lose. Adam had it made. Want it for nothing. All he had to do now was just tend the garden, oversee the garden, and enjoy it. But now he's got to till the ground. He's got to work hard. Amen? And mankind's been working hard ever since. But here's my point I want you to understand. That's what sin is. And that's what it will do in our lives if we chose to go that way. Understand something. Adam was not a sinner in the beginning. He was totally pure. Had no sin. But he made a bad decision. And too many believers are making bad decisions. Please stay with me. I'm not being mean. I'm not angry this morning. I didn't get up on the wrong side of the bed or anything like that. Glory to God, I'm happy. Jesus is Lord. I'm saved. Praise God. And I'm rejoicing. So I don't have a chip on my shoulder, but I've got to preach the word of God, because in some believers' lives, there is too much slackness. There are too many doors open, and we need to get those doors closed. Can I get another amen on that? Amen. But here's the good thing about it. We all deserved hell, but God extended to us his grace. God extended to us his grace. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm laying my foundation, folks. And I'm trying to get there myself. Ephesians chapter 2. We all deserved hell, but God intervened. Look at verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, say he loves me. Hallelujah. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Are you still with me? By grace, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us to do what? I said it earlier. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's the grace of God. Grace is God unmerited favor. God loved us even when we were unlovable, when we were ungodly. God still loved us. And then his mercy says, you deserve hell, you deserve punishment, but I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to have mercy on you and extend my grace to you. Why do you think God tells us to forgive one another when we are offended or when somebody does something or says something wrong to us? Are y'all listening to me? When someone does something or says something wrong to us or mistreat us, God says, extend mercy to them. Forgive them, because that's what I have done for you. You forgive them. You love them because I love you. When you love, when you listen to this, when you walk in the love of God, you can never lose. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ walked in the perfect love of his Father. Where is he right now? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's what love will do for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love never fails. Love never fails. You hear me? Love never fails. That's the reason. Hear me good. That's the reason we as Christians, we as believers, have got to walk in the love of God. We got to live our life through Jesus Christ. Because and let's not, listen to me, let's not get caught up in what's going on out here in the world. The world is divided. And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to divide. Divide and conquer. That's his game plan. Divide and conquer. He's trying to divide us in this nation. And too many times it carry over into the body of Christ and there is division. Division is not of God. Never has been and never will be. We got to make sure that we don't fall for lies and deceptions. We got to make sure that we walk in the living word of God. Make sure that we truly live our lives through Christ Jesus. And never lose sight of the fact that yes, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. We got to make a decision that hey, wait a minute, I'm not running with the crowd. Let me go see what the Word of God says about that. Well, I thought I would have got a better amen than that. We got to keep our eyes on the Word of God. Because remember, I've been preaching to you, I mentioned it last Sunday and Sunday before last too. One day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be tried. Y'all remember that? Our works are going to be tried, and there's not going to be any but Lord. No, the evidence is right here, son. The evidence is right here, daughter. But Lord. Take a look yourself. Here it is. Now apply the flames. If you come out shining on the other side, you're all right. We as believers must be Word of God minded. Everybody say Word of God minded.
Word of God minded.
Say it again. Remember, the Word of God tells us that there are many voices in the world, and we've got to be able to distinguish God's voice from all the other voices and go with God, even if it don't fit what the crowd wants. Preach it, Brother Redford. Apostle Peter said, we must please God and not man.
Amen.
What I think ain't worth 2 cents, but what God says is very valuable. Because it's what God says that's going to last. You still here? And there are many deceiving spirits out there that's trying to divide. Like I say, we see it out in our nation. This nation right now is a divided nation, and I hope you're praying for your country. Are you praying for your country? I say, are you praying for your country? Hallelujah. Pray for your country. But we got to make sure in the church that we stay united around the Word of God and the will of God for His body. Because remember, again, I said it earlier, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of the church. We must follow the shepherd. Can't do our own thing. Can't do our own thing. And God has called us to love. He says, I am love. The Word of God says God is love, and we are to love also. Again, don't get misguided here. We're not to love sin, but we're to love God and we're to love people. And someone that's dealing with issues in their lives, God has called us to help them. God called us to pray for them, and they will allow us to pray with them to get them set free from whatever bondage they're in. It's time for the church to get back doing what we are called to do. Amen. You still with me? And I want you to understand something. Wow, I'm going to have to quit here in a little bit. I hope you all will come back next week, because I got some more I want to say. But we must understand, even as believers, that unconfessed sin in our own life can open the door for Satan to come in. Do you know First Corinthians chapter 11, in the what I call the communion chapter, the Lord's Supper. One of the things that the Apostle Paul says, one of the things that he says is, examine yourself. Examine, listen, believers, we should always examine ourselves. Let's make sure that we are doing what God is telling us to do. Sometimes we want to do what's convenient. We take on the attitude, well, I don't want to do this, or I don't feel like doing this. Well, it's not what we want. It's not how we feel. We are supposed to do what he told us to do. And so we have to examine ourselves. And if we find in any area in our lives that's not lining up with God's will, not lining up with his word, we are supposed to deal with that. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am not talking about condemnation. Y'all follow me, right? I hope you know I'm not preaching a condemning message. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we as believers, including yours truly, have to examine ourselves. We got to make sure that we are walking in God's word, or walking according to God's word. And all through the scriptures, and we may deal with some of that next week, especially the New Testament, it talks to the believer about the believer's lifestyle. Yes, the New Testament gives the believer some do's and don'ts. You still here? There's some things that we should be doing, there's some things we should not be doing. Because this time is quickly coming to a close. Let's make it count. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope this has blessed you. I say, I hope this has blessed you. I know it hadn't been a shouting message, but it's important that we as believers examine ourselves and make sure that we don't be deceived. And everybody that comes, that, let me put it to you this way, everybody that said, that says that they come in the name of Jesus is not necessarily of Jesus. That's the reason Jesus himself said, we'll know them by their fruit. We'll know them by their fruit. Just because you tell me you're this or you tell me you're that, don't mean that you're who you say you are or what you say you are. Do you have the fruit? I say, do you have the fruit? Glory to God. Right now, I just want you to bow your head. And just examine yourself right now.